The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very, very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker tov, mo'adim le'simcha. Yes, we're already rolling into the next set of holidays, Howard.
Yeah, I think rolling being the operative between lockdown and Pesach, rolling is exactly what we're doing, right?
I know we're all a little confused, you know, with the days of the week and where we are, the routine having been lost and stuff like that. And of course, the provisions of the lockdown don't help at all. We're all accustomed to certain routines, especially over Pesach, doing things in a certain way. And it's kind of lost. So I was kind of struggling to wonder what day we're on today. Are we on Tuesday or on Monday? I can't really remember, even though I know we're going to Pesach, the second Chag of Pesach, but we sort of lose track of what day of the week we're on. And of course, our government once again has put lockdown provisions in place. They first of all extended the current lockdown until Sunday, which is interesting that the government last night in a late night meeting decided only to extend the current provisions until Sunday, which means the limitations on the number of people going to work and the issues of schooling, not going to schools, and educational institutions and all of the other restrictions that are in place have now been extended until Sunday, which does, of course, beg the question, what will happen after that? And I'm sure it's not just going to be, okay, everything expires and let's just fall into what we used to know from a few weeks ago. We're expecting a lot more than that. But I think that more specifically, the government has really tried to restrict how people are going to behave after Pesach. There's a concern that people are going to flood the bakeries and flood the shops in order to replenish supplies of non-Pesachic goods, getting their bread in and stuff like that. And so interestingly, the government have taken a few actions. First of all, they've once again limited the movement between cities starting tonight and ending tomorrow morning. So nobody should be visiting friends and family for the second Chag of Pesach. That has now been restricted. Nobody should be moving from one city to another at all unless it's absolutely urgent and there's a good reason for it and they can justify it to the authorities who will be enforcing that lockdown. And then what's more, once Pesach is out, which for us is going to be tomorrow night, that for us is the end of Pesach. I know it's not the same for you guys, but that's for us tomorrow night, Pesach will end. No bakeries are allowed to open tomorrow night after Pesach at all. No selling of bread and other chametz is allowed in any of the shops or the supermarkets or the grocery stores that will go open after Pesach tomorrow night. None of that is allowed, and there will be a lockdown enforced until 2 o'clock in the morning, where once again people are not allowed to move around from city to city. And the reason for that is all about Mimuna, the traditional Moroccan festival that is celebrated at the end of Pesach with its own set of foods and moufletot and all kinds of other delicious, mostly sweet goods that are traditional for Mimuna. Effectively, what the government is trying to do is almost cancel Mimuna, not cancel it, but certainly prevent people from getting together, which is so traditional. And the Prime Minister was on the TV last night saying that even he will miss Mimuna. Of course, he doesn't come from Moroccan descent, as we know, but certainly Mimuna has been an opportunity for politicians to see and be seen. It's quite traditional for senior politicians to go to the parties, Mimuna parties, to the best ones, and to have their photos taken and have opportunities to meet people. This has really been very traditional each year for Mimuna. This year, none of that is going to happen. Certainly, if people adhere to the restrictions, Mimuna effectively is just with the nuclear family, those people who live in your household. And then slowly but surely on Thursday, there will, I guess, be the opportunity to replenish supplies of chametz products, bread and rolls and other things that people might want to eat after the end of Pesach, but certainly not as part of a Mimuna celebration involving groups of people. And all of this comes on the back of an unfortunately very a very sad day yesterday, when there were 13 people who died as a result of being infected by COVID-19. What's transpired amongst other themes that we've seen during the course of the coronavirus in Israel, is that unfortunately many of the assisted living facilities, many of the aged homes have had people who've been infected and have a lot of a disproportionate number of victims. I heard a number yesterday that out of the total of 116 people who have died to date in Israel as a result of COVID-19, more than 40 of them have come from homes where elderly people live. Even though there was a stringent lockdown of those homes fairly early on, but there were one or two particular examples where workers, people who come to the home on a regular basis, inadvertently infected residents of the home, and that then, of course, spread very quickly. And due to the fact that many of those residents were already suffering from diseases which traditionally inflict people of a certain age, underlying disease, underlying causes, underlying illnesses, as they like to say in the press. Of course, those people were a much, much weaker situation in terms of being able to fight off the virulent COVID-19 virus that we've seen spread out. So unfortunately, that's really been a theme. There's one home in Beersheba in particular where more than 10 people passed away as a result of this infection. And there's another home in the north of Israel and one also in Jerusalem. Those really have been the focal points, three or four particular assisted living facilities where people have been infected. And so the government announced that they would like to test all residents of similar facilities across Israel. And I don't know whether that plan has actually been put into place yet, but it certainly was announced saying that all residents of assisted living facilities, old age homes, call them what you will, they will all be tested for the virus and will obviously be treated accordingly as early as possible in this, you know, whatever stage of the virus they're in. So I'm not quite sure if that plan has been put into place, but it's certainly one of the things that the government's decided to do. And that has really been an unfortunate thing that we've seen, a theme that we've seen over the course of the last few weeks, but certainly the last week or so in particular. And of course, many of the family members of those people who have suffered, those people who have passed away as a result of COVID-19, have been very dissatisfied with what's going on at these homes. And I think that there will still be questions asked and answers to be given from the management and staff of those homes. I know that one home in particular, I saw a piece on TV where they were interviewing residents of the home, but from a distance. The residents were kind of on their balconies, and the TV crew were outside the environs of the home, sort of screaming across the courtyard, talking to people. And there was an elderly couple there who were saying, I want you to know this is a home where more than 10 people had died. And the elderly couple were on their balcony saying, I want you to know that the staff in this home are fantastic. They are really amazing people, and that unfortunately the staff was just incapacitated as a result of having come into contact with people who had the virus, and all of the staff members were then themselves forced to go into self-isolation, as a result of which the staff was effectively decimated in their numbers, and they were then unable to cope with whatever transpired in that home after that. And therefore, that particular couple that they were interviewing saying, please don't hold the staff in this home responsible, because they were all sent home to self-isolation, as a result of which we were really left almost without a staff. And then that's when the ravages of the virus really took hold within the home, and unfortunately a number of people died as a result of that. So it was just another slightly interesting and different perspective to be taken from what was going on in that home, following many very harsh accusations that were being leveled against that particular home and the management of the home by members of family who unfortunately had to suffer the loss of loved ones who lived in those homes.
The human tragedy around this is just quite unbelievable, and the anxiety, of course, that goes with it as well. In other news, and I didn't really want to go here because it's just enough already, is what's happening with government.
Well, we know as I discussed yesterday, the mandate that was given to Benny Gantz by the president to form a government actually expired officially last night. Now we've seen seen words being stated both by Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz saying, we're getting closer, we're getting closer, we're almost there. One last push, you know, and Benny Gantz actually formally applied to the president for an extension to the mandate, which initially was refused. Then last night he went on TV. It was a quite a strange sequence of people on TV last night. First of all, Prime Minister Netanyahu came on TV to update about the coronavirus and to explain what the new restrictions would be over the coming days. And then he, of course, mentioned that he would be meeting with Benny Gantz to try and see if they can have a final push towards forming a government. That was the Prime Minister's announcement on TV. Following that, Benny Gantz himself came onto TV saying he would also like to make a final push towards forming the government. And as I understand, there were late night meetings last night and a joint application to the president by both Prime Minister Netanyahu and Benny Gantz to request an extension of the mandate deadline. On this occasion, the president actually acceded to the request and he did grant an extension to the deadline, but only until Wednesday night. So the deadline effectively expires tonight, because tomorrow with Pesach, the second Chag of Pesach, Shvi Shel Pesach, it's unlikely that anything of any meaning is really going to come out of things. So today is really the final push. We have been advised that the negotiating teams of both parties are standing by today, ready to push things to a final conclusion. It kind of looks and feels like we might even have a government later today, from the positive messages that have been coming out from both parties and from the president's agreement to extend the deadline. He obviously must have been convinced that we are on the verge of forming a government. Otherwise, I'm sure he would have not agreed to that request. And so it is certainly a hope that we may well have a government with which includes Benny Gantz and includes the Likud party of Prime Minister Netanyahu. Gantz, of course, and his Kahol Levan party. I think he's still calling it Kahol Levan, even though he is split away now from half of the people who formed his party at the time that they went into the election. That was the Yair Lapid group together with Telem group, led by Bugi Yaalon. They've all split away into their own grouping, that they will form part of the opposition if indeed a government is formed. So there is today a little bit of optimism, just a little bit of optimism.
Do people actually feel optimistic? You know, I read this and I must be honest, I roll my eyes, because I think with every announcement of great progress and meetings that we've had, I mean, if you had a dollar for every time, you could be retired by now. I think it's going to be the biggest anticlimax of Israeli political history when eventually this government is formed. I don't know. Am I alone in my disdain and exasperation over this?
Absolutely not. You are not alone at all. And I think that people are kind of so focused on other issues right now, lockdown issues and you know, trying to just get through this period as healthily as possible without being exposed unnecessarily to the virus. People are kind of there isn't a great deal of interest really in the formation of the government. Having said that though, we do urgently and very, very badly need a government. And even if it is this government, which we're looking at, with Benny Gantz and Prime Minister Netanyahu, with all kinds of specific provisions about who's going to have the ability to do what and what would happen if some legislation is brought against the Prime Minister, what happens if the Supreme Court rules that he's not in a position to govern, what happens if then all kinds of provisions have to be included in this agreement in order to protect each and every person from a myriad of eventualities, that it kind of almost feels like a government without much power and without teeth. And yet it's a government, and a government is important because there are so many state committees and so many things that need to be done that require a government, that need a functioning government of some sort. We still don't have a budget for 2020. For those who have forgotten about that, we're operating on a month-to-month situation. No budget has been approved, no appointment of judges, so many different things that need to be agreed upon. And of course, there are emergency provisions that are in place for the coronavirus. Nobody really understands what's going to happen next week. when we start hopefully coming out of this, are children going to go back to school? On what basis is that going to happen? You know, who's making all of these decisions at the moment? It seems to be Prime Minister Netanyahu on his own, when, of course, I think we need a government and we need a Knesset that will be able to govern these things as is required in a proper functioning democracy. So if a government is formed today, it will be an anticlimax, but it will be one which is so necessary. And I don't foresee that any government that might be formed today will necessarily last too long. But at least we'll have it for the time being, until such time as we can get over this particular hump, particular situation, and move on to hopefully a situation which is a little bit more manageable. So that's the best we can expect right now, Howard. We're all rolling our eyes, but we're hoping that we will have a government. And hopefully by the time I speak to you guys, which I think is going to be only next week now, after Pesach, hopefully we can talk about a functioning government and some sort of level of, usual activity having returned to the Israeli market. So I just leave it to wish you guys Chag Sameach, Shabbat Shalom, and let's hope that by the time we speak next week, we will have some good news to speak about.
Absolutely. Anthony Reich, thank you as always, and thanks for your incredible reports. And we'll catch you on Monday. On Friday, don't forget, Rolene Marks will be back with us. We aren't with you either Wednesday or Thursday.